Hello and welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. My name's John Burns and this is my podcast for people who like to be outdoors. It's a great time of year here up in the Highlands now as we're getting into the autumn and you can hear the stags roaring in the glens. It's always my favourite time of year when the climate starts to change and, basically the midges died out, to be quite honest. It's exciting for me right now because my book, The Hot Tent Diaries, should be out, I would think, if I can manage to get everything together, should be out in the next 2 or 3 weeks, definitely by the end of October, I think. So that's really exciting. My guest today is someone who's basically made an art out of getting cold. She's someone who has explored cold water swimming and immersion, and is here to tell us all about her book, The Cold Fix. Hello, Sarah Barnes. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. It's getting colder down here in the Lake District too, I'm pleased to say.
yeah, there's certainly been a change over the last week or so, I would say. Tell us about your, how did you get into swimming in cold water then?
Well, I've always been a swimmer, but I decided that, well, I had to use or find some way of getting outdoors. After quite a major operation on both legs, I elected to have both legs broken at the same time, which sounds dramatic, but I just wanted to get it over and done with. I had osteoarthritis in my inner knee joints, and this operation, osteotomy, was one way of trying to help me be mobile again without pain. So I went for both legs once, so I was in a wheelchair for 8 weeks, but as soon as I could be weight bearing, get on crutches, I thought I have got to get outside, because I'd always been a keen runner and cyclist, so I just needed it. It's part of me. Yeah. To be outdoors and active. So on crutches I went with my kids down to Crummett Water, which is in the Northwest Lakes, and walked into the water with my crutches, and they went in with me. And that was it. I floated, and oh my God, the feeling of just being outdoors again, I just came alive again. So I went in that time with a wetsuit, and then I ditched it because it was just so difficult to get on and off with still quite painful legs. And that was it, really. That was the start. And then I met some other people who did it, and so it became a sort of weekly thing we did. And then gradually I thought, I want to try keep swimming. When you get to the autumn this time of year, mm-hmm. I wanted to try and swim through the winter, because I'd heard that people did. Right. And I was still no wetsuit. So we did. We took each swim was sort of a new one. We thought, right, we'll just get the next swim done and we'll keep going. And we went all through the winter, and it just became a fantastic bonding experience, and I was getting back out there. I still couldn't walk particularly far, so we went to very easy, accessible mm-hmm. places, and we started going 3 times a week, 4 times a week, but I now do it daily. It's become something, it's just a non-negotiable for me.
And so, you know, we all like to get out in the outdoors, and that's a great feeling itself. But is there something special for you about the experience of the physical experience, I guess, about being immersed in cold water?
Yes, I think it. From that point, I was weightless. You mm-hmm. suddenly lose that heaviness of immobility. Yeah. You become different physically.
Okay, what one of the interesting things that you said in your book is that it's not just about you, this book, Cold Fix. It's also about a lot of other people across the world who found a similar sort of inspiration in cold water swimming. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I thought that there's a lot of cultural differences in why people swim in cold water. For example, in North America, there's 2 points of view on it, really. Kids are brought up being taught, well, don't walk on the ice. You don't want to fall in the water because you'll die. And there's lots of instances of people going out onto frozen lakes and falling in, and then actually children being sucked under the ice, and you just can't find them, you know, they're because they are in the flow of the river, and they can end up miles away or not being found till spring. So it's really quite horrific. So that's a kind of cultural thing not to do. But then they also drive out onto the lakes, and you see them cutting holes in the ice, and they'd seem better equipped to do it. So there's kind of the two polar opposites there in North America. In Scandinavia, you've obviously got the cold water ice hole sauna, whipping each other with birch branches back in the water, and they actually cut a hole at the bottom of a ladder. They've got ladders going into these little lakes and rivers, and then they can keep the ice hole open by blowing, I think they blow hot air, or there's a filter system or something to keep the hole open. For the swimming events that you see on YouTube and so on, they have to actually cut a massive big like pool size out of a river, and then they have to keep that open for as long as the event's open. So they tend not to do the distance swimming that we in this country have got into, although in the events they do. But generally people don't try and swim distance. They just want to the experience of the cold and then the hot sauna.
Right.
So
as well as the way it makes you feel, it obviously does invigorate you. You know, do you think there are real health benefits to doing this?
I believe there are. It's difficult to tell because, you know, my health is what it is, and whether that's, and it's good, but whether that's because of the daily cold water immersion, I don't know now. But I very rarely get a cold, and I'm touching wood here. And when I had COVID, I wasn't that poorly, and I still went and dipped in my tub outdoors each morning, just carefully, but just to keep that routine going. So I wasn't completely incapacitated by it by any means. And I do feel that my immune system is probably a lot stronger. There's quite a lot being written about it, and it's not conclusive, any of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the scientific research done around cold water swimming, none of it's really conclusive. But I find that I'm pretty healthy, touch wood again.
apart from having both your legs broken at one point.
Well, yes, but that was kind of deliberate. I asked for that. I signed a form.
So, I mean, I always thought that sort of like for especially for older people, and for, you know, if you have joint problems, that sort of thing, that the cold is something that people tend to complain of, isn't it? But do you think it can actually be helpful?
For me, it definitely has been helpful. It reduces pain. The pain reduction was enormous. And actually, they do, you know, you have put a cold compress on bruises and so on, hot and cold.
Yes.
So it's a bit like that. But what I have found sort of latterly is I'm having to do more sort of thorough warming of my knees and joints, and definitely my hands. Now I think I would start wearing neoprene gloves in the cold water,
right?
Because I can feel it in my joints a bit more, and that could be getting older, but it does reduce inflammation, which should be a good thing for people with joint problems. But I just think, yeah, more careful warming, more thorough warming, and nice exercises afterwards, just bending, stretching of legs, right, and arms and so on.
And obviously, you know, there are dangers of hypothermia and things like that. What do you do to overcome those sort of issues?
I watch how long I'm in for. I never time it. I just listen to my body. As soon as I start to feel warm and relaxed and comfortable, I think, right, out. It's time to get out.
As soon as you start enjoying it, you've got to get out. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that's kind of life, really, isn't it? But what I do when I get out is I'm not so bothered about chucking on the layers of clothing. I get any wet stuff off and put on like a windproof thing. But right. The most important thing for me is a hot drink. Even in summer, I need just a few sips of a hot drink. That starts, it goes right to my core. I literally feel it drop into my cold belly and then feel it kind of oozing through into my body. And I know that I'm starting to warm up. And that is very clear to me that it's essential.
So what you're really doing is you're getting heat directly into your core. Rather than, because obviously in a situation like that, I'm guessing that the blood in your arms and your legs and places like that is going to be chilled, but your core will be fairly warm. So it's important not to introduce all that colder blood into your organs, because you can literally shut down, can't you? Has that ever happened to you?
I have not shut down too much. I've been on the verge of shutting down. Yes, right. One occasion when my drink just wasn't hot enough. And I'd been in the water too long. I'd been under the water, looking underneath. It was actually Black Moss Pot in the Lake District,
right,
where it's the underwater bit that's fascinating. It's just stunning. So I was underwater with goggles on and my GoPro with my friend. And I just forgot how long I'd been in. And I forgot that not a good idea. But my drink just wasn't hot enough. It didn't kickstart that warming. And I started to think, well, I can't put this on, and where's that, and how do I do that? And I started to just feel so unwell. But my friends, fortunately, their coffee was piping hot. So a few sips of that, and that then triggered it. And I was then started feeling normal enough to get myself dressed. That's the problem. If you can't get yourself dressed or hold a cup because you're shaking so much, or you know, you can start to get silly and giddy and lose concept of time, and it's quite scary.
So if someone wanted to take up the sort of thing that you do in the cold fix, then basically are there groups and places they can go to learn how to do this safely?
Yep, there's groups all over the country, actually all over the world now. And there's groups like the Dublin Dippers, the Blue Tits, who have little sort of chapters all over this country. I think they also go over to Canada and places. So you can be part of a big group if that's your thing, or splinter off into like twos and threes of people if you want a more sort of zen experience. Because being with a big group can be quite overwhelming. There's a lot of noise and chatter and all of that stuff. Personally, I go on my own a lot, but I really like joining a bigger group, or I really like going just with one other person. So whatever's your thing, however you feel more comfortable, there will be something for you all over the country. And one of the best places to find these groups, somewhere like the Outdoor Swimming Society has a load of groups on their Facebook page. And they also have a list of groups throughout the country. And so you can think, well, where do I want to go swimming, or where do I live? Yeah, there's a group here. I'll go along to one of their meetings. And that's how you start to connect with people. And you'll find it's really, really easy to sort of work out smaller groups as you go, really, as you get more experienced and more confident.
All right. It sounds like cold water swimming is like just like a lot of other things in the outdoors. You know, you need to treat it with respect, and you need to maybe, you know, get a few skills or get a bit of understanding about how to do it. But after you've done that, then you can really develop it like anything else into the way you want to do it yourself. Is that right?
Yes, that's what I've found. I mean, I started off by going with just one or two other people, and we went a couple of times a week, and then we decided to swim through the winter. But then I kind of splintered off and I went on my own a bit, and then I swam with other people as well. And yes, you build it into your lifestyle. But actually, for me, it's become my lifestyle. I don't do a lot else. You know, I work for myself from home. Mm-hmm. I have done for years and years. So it's part of my life. And it's a kind of a non-negotiable to have a dip in my tub first thing. And then I will also go outside and have a swim somewhere. with or without other people. So yeah, you can work it into your life and the time you've got and so on.
And do you think age is a barrier? Is this mainly, you know, something that, that it gets more difficult as you get older? Have you found that? Or
I would think the only reason it would get more difficult is the access to the water.
Right.
You know, literally the physical, how do you get from your car to the water? And also if you have to give up driving for whatever reason, can you still get somewhere to swim? So I think, but I've heard of people who are dipping in like the Irish Sea, down a ladder, you know, in their 80s.
Right.
And certainly abroad as well. There's a lady in my book, she's 67, which is young, but she's been swimming for 14 years now. Right. And she's been actually doing it every single day for the last 2.5 years or so. Right. And she doesn't look her age at all, and she doesn't act her age at all. And it really is doing her good. And she's meeting other people of all ages when she goes. She's formed a kind of mermaid group, and lots of different groups come and stay in her Airbnb and so on, and she swims with all of them. So it's given her friendship, community. You know, she's ageless. She's very absolutely good. Stunning.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear it. So now your book, it's not out yet, is it? It's available for pre-order from Vertebrate, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's still available for pre-order. It's going to print today, I believe.
Whoa.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
No turning back. And then it's actually out on the 1st of November, which is strange because that is the sort of official beginning of the winter swimming season. So it's really perfectly timed.
Oh,
and I couldn't be more excited.
So you've not actually held a live copy of the book in your hands yet?
Not the final version, no, but I had a proof copy.
Right, right.
And I picked it up, I smelt it, and then I cried.
Yeah, well, it is a pretty special moment when the book you've been working on for so long suddenly becomes a reality. It suddenly leaps out of your head through the computer and becomes
And then you think, will anybody read it? Will they like it? Will they recommend it to other people?
I'm sure they will. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah. Thank
well,
you.
Well, there's a massive interest in you know, wild swimming and exploring water in different ways now. I'm sure that you know the cold water fix will be something that a lot of people will be interested in. You know.
Yeah, I reckon. I think that there's people have found that. They want to change perhaps how they live. I think the pandemic taught us a lot about how, you know, it's not how much you've got, it's what you do with what little you've got and how you spend your time and who you spend it with.
Yes.
And appreciating nature. It's all of that comes into it.
Well, that's a very important point because you know, we seem to be going through or falling in free fall, really, into a sort of economic crisis at the moment. But certainly something like cold water swimming, you don't need a lot of money to do that, really, do you?
You really don't. And you really don't need all the gear and robes and equipment and stuff. You know, my kit is very simple. You just don't need it. You need, I'd say, for cold feet, you need some good neoprene swim socks or slip bottoms and gloves and a bobble hat and a swimsuit. But you don't actually have to have a swimsuit. You can have hundreds like I do. But, you know, you just it's entirely up to you. But you can, if you've been doing stuff in the outdoors, you will no doubt have layers, you know, thermal layers.
Yeah.
And that's important. Yeah. And a good, you know, coat that's windproof and waterproof.
Yes.
And a microfiber changing robe is essential because you can put it on, take your cosy off. You're decent if you're in a public place, and it stops the wind a little bit. So then, as I said, you can start your warming process by having a hot drink, and you've protected your body from the wind, which is the wind chills you down so much. I mean, yes, you know that from being outdoors, walking and stuff.
Well, Sarah, it's been great talking to you. I'm really pleased to hear your book about soon. And thanks very much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a good day.